Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities. All with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The fans feel under attack. The fans feel like that the players are not hearing them, that this is not about Deshaun Watson. This is more about the product that's on the field. And for the players to come out and speak so passionately the way that they did, I think the fans feel a little offended. Mary Kay, you back?
I'm back. Can you hear me better now?
Oh, that's much better. Now we cooking.
Oh, so good.
You heard the question. So just your opinion, because we know Browns fans are passionate, right? We both know this. And your career has been much longer than mine. I don't recall a time to where it seemed to be this much dysfunction and divide between players and fans. And for Shelby Harris to come out and kind of confirm, yeah, some of the players really feel some type of way towards the fans. It just had me wondering all morning, man, what is it going to be like Sunday?
Well, I went around the locker room all week, and I talked to players and even Kevin Stefanski about just how are they feeling now about Browns fans after what happened at the stadium on Sunday, because, of course, everybody has to go back down there and work together again on Sunday with the Ravens coming to town. And most of the players said, we understand this was not all Browns fans. By the same token, we were still hurt about hearing that for one of our brothers who was down injured. It hurt. So I can understand that, but I really do believe that after they let it sit for a few days, I think they understood that they do have the best fans in the world, in the NFL, coming to Cleveland Browns Stadium, rain or shine, sleet or snow, win or lose. They really did seem to understand that. They did seem to understand that in the moment, while it was very painful to hear that, that they really do know and believe that it wasn't everybody, that it was a vocal minority that were cheering Deshaun while he was down. And I was there, of course, and when they were cheering him as he was being carted off, it was loud, but that was a mixture. It had to be a mixture of fans supporting him as he was being carted off because, you know, if you watched the Monday night game, Chris Godwin was cheered as he was getting carted off. That's what happens when a player is being carted off and you are supporting him in that moment. So I think a lot of it was that. And before that, if there were fans cheering him while he was injured, it certainly was not everybody in that stadium. So hopefully everyone will try to move past some of this. I have a story up there on Cleveland.com right now where a lot of the players addressed this, and not everybody is ready to move past it. As you mentioned, Shelby Harris is still dealing with and processing his own feelings about this. But for the most part, I found that the players were ready to say, we still love our fans. We need our fans. And we know that wasn't everybody.
I just retweeted your article, Mary Kay. I'm definitely going to dive into it. You know, the part that you said that just stood out to me about, you know, when players get carted off, fans cheer. And we hear that often. And I think, and this is just my opinion, because I've told some of my coworkers in private, I said, you know, the one thing about Deshaun Watson being done for the season is that I hope this mental of exhaustion that I've been feeling covering this team goes away, because I think energy is so transferable. And when you're constantly covering negativity, negative stories, people's negative comments, or we're stuck in a position to where it seems like anytime something concerns or surrounds Deshaun Watson, it's taken to the extreme one way or another. It's like you can't say anything positive, or you're supporting his, you know, off-field allegations, or if you say anything negative, then you're being a turncoat. And so just to hear you speak to that, it just seems like when it comes to Deshaun, everything is going to always been and has been, you know, taken to the extreme one way or the another. And in my opinion, Mary Kay, you know, my initial reactions was, man, I was disheartened to hear the fans, you know, not give him grace. But I also had to understand that I can't project my personal feelings on other people. But I think how loud Miles spoke is it turned a few bad apples into this whole thing, right?
Yeah, I really do believe that, again, I was not outside. I was in the press box behind glass, and I could not hear how loud it actually was. But I, in my heart of hearts, I know these Browns fans. It cannot have been the majority of them. It was not the majority of them. And the other thing that I think it's important to note is that Cleveland Browns fans, once again, are extremely passionate. And right now, the team is losing. So nobody's happy about anything right now. And I do think that some of the anti-Deshaun sentiment is football related. It's not all off the field related. It's football related, because there have been plenty of Browns fans who have been willing to separate the football from the off the field allegations and still go to games, still cheer for the Cleveland Browns. So I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that they have just been losing this season, and people are as upset about that as anything else.
She's Mary Kay Cavett of Cleveland.com, Cleveland Browns beat reporter, joining me right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. So let's talk about some people who are available this week. Big news this week is Kevin Stefanski giving up the play calling to Ken Dorsey. Of course, Jameis Winston is starting. Mary Kay, in your opinion, you know, do you think that this is the spark that the Browns offense needed? Do you think that the Browns offense will look a little bit better now that Dorsey is calling the plays?
You know, I really wasn't expecting that to happen. I didn't really think it was necessary at this time. When I thought it would have benefited the team the most is when Deshaun Watson was still starting, because I felt that perhaps Ken might be able to coax a little bit more out of him in the new concepts that they were trying to implement this season than what was happening out there on the field. So that's when I thought it seemed to make sense. Now that Jameis Winston is in there, it doesn't really make as much sense to me. But I also think as we move forward here that you will have another dual threat quarterback playing out there soon enough in Dorian Thompson-Robinson. So it's not like, oh, now they've got Ken Dorsey calling plays for the more less mobile quarterback, because I do think that he will be calling them for Dorian as well, because now, as we know, he's going to be calling plays for the rest of the season. And I just think that Dorian's going to get back in there so that the Browns can see what they have in him for the future.
So just so I'm on the same page with you, because a lot of my commentary, and I think a lot of the commentary over the last day or so, is Jameis Winston has from now to the end of the season to prove that he's part of the Browns' long-term plans or plans next season, short-term, so to speak. But what you're saying is, you know, once Dorian Thompson-Robinson is healthy enough, he's going to get another opportunity to start because the Browns need to see what they have in him?
I believe that, yes. No one has come right out and told me that, but I do believe, and I asked Dorian this yesterday, and he also believes that he is going to get back out there. So he might have some reassurances from the team that he is going to be starting again. And it makes sense because the Browns have got to figure out some contingency plans at starting quarterback in the event that Deshaun Watson is not ready to play. So they have to figure things out. They have to know who's going to be on the roster. They have to know who can challenge for the starting job. They have to know if they have to go out and draft a quarterback or sign one in free agency or trade one, or what they need to do and what that room is going to look like. So they have decisions to make. And I think one of those decisions will be based on, in part, how Dorian looks in some of these games this season.
So based off what you just said, Mary Kay, if you don't want to answer this, you don't have to. You said, you know, in case Deshaun Watson is not ready to play. So there's a realistic possibility that Deshaun Watson is still part of the Cleveland Browns plans moving forward in 2025?
Well, that's what I think, and I'm probably going to be writing some more about that today. But yes, I would think that it's nothing definite, but I would think that when you're talking about a cap hit of $72 million in each of the next two seasons, that you're not going to cast that aside lightly, and you're going to try to see what you have and where you can go with it. And just because he was booed by Browns fans when he ran out of the tunnel, and just because he was cheered by some Browns fans, I don't necessarily think that you can run your franchise that way, that you're worried about him getting booed. That's not how you operate your football team. A lot, once again, as I mentioned before, a lot of the booing has to do with the way people believe or perceive that he has been playing football. Some of it, I'm sure, can be off the field issues, but I think a lot of it is football, because when you're in that stadium, you're preaching to the choir for the most part. You've got people there that are Browns fans and want to see this football team win. So I think that if the Browns do bring him back and he is part of a winning effort, I'm not so sure that he would be getting booed like that when he runs out of the tunnel.
I like that, because I think you're going to set a realistic expectation early with that, Mary Kay, because I think the automatic assumption is the Cleveland Browns are going to draft another quarterback and we are done with the Deshaun Watson era. So it's good to get that out there early, so that when we get to this point next year and he's possibly still a part of the fold, we can have that conversation. Well, you know, you all are going crazy and being angry, and we told you this a year ago.
Well, again, I don't know for sure that that's going to happen. And again, I'm going to be laying out some of the different possibilities, but it has to be one of them. It has to be one of them, in large part because of the economics of the whole thing. You really can't just throw $72 million out the window from a cap standpoint. That's the cap charge. It's he's owed, whatever, $46 million a year in each of the next 2 years from a salary average standpoint. But for cap purposes, you're talking about a cap charge of 72. That's a huge chunk of your cap in each of the next 2 years. And in the year after that, a void year, it's still $26 million. So you're not going to just, that's nothing to sneeze at, obviously. You're going to make sure that you're doing the right thing and you're going to explore all of your options. And certainly one of them would have to be seeing what he might have left for you.
Mary Kay, the Browns need a win bad. I think that it'd go a long way to kind of, you know, temper everything and get people smiling, at least for a 7 to 12 hour period. You're going up against a Ravens team whose rushing attack is phenomenal. Derrick Henry seems like he's still a well-oiled machine. Lamar Jackson is looking like a back-to-back MVP. What's the formula for the Browns to create a situation to where they can come out victorious in this game?
Well, I think one of the things you're going to have to try to do, if you possibly can, is find a way to sustain some drives so that you can keep that Ravens high-powered offense off the field to the extent that you can. Not going to be easy, because if you try to do it by running the ball, they're number one in the NFL against the run. And if you try to pass, even though they're 32nd against the pass, they're still going to try to attack you on the edges, and they're still going to try to make life very, very difficult on Jameis Winston. Now, Marlon Humphrey is doubtful and might not play. I think that really helps the Browns, because he is second in the NFL with 4 interceptions, and he's always going to be roaming around back there waiting to pick that ball off. It helps that he's probably not going to play. So it's going to be tough. Hopefully Nick Chubb will be ready for a little bit more. But once again, when you're dealing with the number one run defense in the NFL, it doesn't matter who you put back there. It's going to be tough sledding.
Last week, we seen Cedric Tillman really kind of get his feet wet for the first time in his NFL career. What's the likelihood that he can duplicate last week's performance?
Well, once again, they are last in the NFL against the pass. And I really do think that Jameis is going to be very aggressive. I think he's going to be slinging it around out there. I think he's going to be looking deep for guys like Sed and Dave Njoku and Jerry Jeudy. So he's not going to be shy about that. And we know he's a gunslinger. And so I do think that Sed will probably have plenty of opportunities this week.
And finally, Mary Kay, I'll get you out of here on this one. You know, this whole narrative of the Cleveland Browns are going to file a lawsuit to get clarity on the Art Modell law. Can you just speak a little bit about what that process is going to look like?
Well, unfortunately, it's getting a little ugly between the city and the Cleveland Browns, and this isn't something that anybody really needs right now. I don't think the Browns anticipated that it was going to go like this. Even though, you know, we've all been through this before, or a lot of us have been through this before, and we know how this goes, I just don't think that they thought it was going to happen or go down quite like this. So, once again, the two sides suing each other or saying they're going to sue each other, it's really sad for everyone involved and unfortunate, and it would be obviously a whole lot better if they could come to the table and work through this in a way that's not going to leave everybody with just a horrible taste in their mouth about this whole thing.
I couldn't agree with you more. This has gotten ugly, Mary Kay. I thank you. You know what? I got to say this in closing. When I went to media school, they talk about being non-biased, but you're the only person I'm biased about, man. I just love who you are as a person. I love your work. You continue to stay on your grind. You know, you take a lot of heat, but you stay in the kitchen and you stay cooking. So anytime that you can take some time out your day to join me on this show, it's always greatly appreciated. I hope you have an amazing day today.
Oh, you too. And thanks for your kind words. And you know that I'm 100% happy for you with your growth in this industry. So I'm always happy to join you.
I appreciate you. You take care.
You too. Take care.
That's Mary Kay Cabot on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. She's right. Things are getting ugly between the fans and the team. She's right that, we didn't expect it to get to this point. We get to a 2020 when we come back, we react to what Mary Kay had to say.